That means we have to learn to cooperate with God, to labor. Now, this is the physical ground, the earth. But a principle is the same now in the spiritual ground, the church being God's field. But if we are not ready to till the ground, to labor, and to work on the field, what would God have? God would have nothing. So may the Lord open our eyes to see this wonderful but simple principle in the Bible. Right? Now let's go to the second. Offering in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 2. You have the meal offering. Praise the Lord. I think it's really God's wisdom. It's God's wisdom. Right? In order to understand a meal offering, you have to go through the Bible, especially in the New Testament, to see the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how through death and resurrection, He created the new man. Right? And then Paul continued to say, we must put off the old man and put on the new man, the new humanity. Don't think God is going to give up the human race, because God's plan, God has something wonderful. His plan for human beings. Even though Satan ruined and poisoned and corrupted humanity, but God will recover and raise up a new humanity through Jesus Christ. And then through us, through His people, the church, the new creation. Right? It's very important for us to see. And Paul says the new man is created according to the image of Him who created him. Right? In holiness. Praise God. Right? So may the Lord really open our eyes to see this. In a church life, you cannot live according to the old man. It's not possible to build up the church according to the old man. Not possible. No, no. So the Bible says no more Jews, no more Gentiles, Greeks, no more Greeks, no more Chinese, no more Germans, no more Aramaic, right? No more Aramaic, no more. Nothing. No Vietnamese. But Christ, the new man. A wonderful new man. This is really great. You know, God's plan is so complete, so vast, so immense. Now, how are we going to gain this new man and put on this new man? It is by eating the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this eating is nothing new. In New Testament, it's already right there in the Old Testament, the meal offering for the priest to eat. It is a special food, holy food for the priest to eat, to enjoy, to take in. This is really a wonderful food that God has created for us. Right? We have to really appreciate it. Right? The meal offering, praise the Lord. Right. Amen. Does the meal grow on the garden? No. No. You say, so you have to work on it. You have to labor it. You have to grow wheat and then wait until it's ripened. Then you harvest it and then you grind it. And then you have the fine flour, really wonderful with the fine flour. Right? So the fine flour in the Bible signifies the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, fully mingled with oil, with the Holy Spirit. You know, many times we pray to God and says, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Have you prayed that? Yeah, I think you do, right? We all did, right? Sarah, even you did, right? Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Did he do that? Yes, but how full? How much? There's a principle in the Bible that the holy anointing, you cannot anoint the flesh because of sin and corruption in our flesh. Right? So with the old man, if we are still living according to the old man and you tell the Lord, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, you can have faith, you can fast and pray and fast and pray. At the end, you will be filled with something strange and not with the Holy Spirit. You might think it is the Holy Spirit. Right. Why is it that the Holy Spirit cannot fully mingle with us? But with this wonderful fine flower, the Holy Spirit can easily be mingled and knit into the fine flower. It is pure. And so the oil, the anointing oil, or the pure oil of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is now fully mingled with the Lord Jesus Christ in his humanity. This is really wonderful. So the more we enjoy the fine humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you eat that food and it becomes your experience. Right? His humanity replaces more and more your humanity. That you can really see the Holy Spirit can work in you very well and very easy. But in our flesh it is very difficult because many times the Spirit says, no. You said, yes. And when the Spirit says, yes, you said, no. If you're always contrary, quenching the Holy Spirit and grieving the Holy Spirit, how can the Holy Spirit be fully mingled with you? You tell me. Not possible. Right? Right? Because our old man is always resisting the Holy Spirit. Always saying no to the Holy Spirit. We are very religious. We know a lot of teachings and a lot of doctrines. So when we fellowship, we just teach people and say what we know. But it is not what we know. It is how much the Holy Spirit today, indwelling in your spirit, is able to mingle with our humanity, with our soul. How easily can the Holy Spirit penetrate us? But if we are always resisting, then no wonder we don't have much oil. We sang that song, give me oil in my lamp and keep it burning. Yeah, but the problem is not oil in your lamp, in your spirit, but the problem is the oil in your vessel. How much oil can the Lord penetrate your humanity, your heart, your will, your mind? In the beginning, we learn to set our mind on the Spirit. Right? Then you can really see in Ephesians, the Spirit becomes the Spirit of your mind. Chapter 4, verse 23. Right? So, but oftentimes we hardly set your mind on the Spirit. How often do you remember to set your mind on the Spirit? When you're so busy in your business, they're doing so much work. At the end you get headaches. Right? But if you learn to set a mind on the Spirit, you'll have peace. And when you're doing your business, it's not you now, but with the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be able to bear a lot of burden. Can you imagine the Lord breaking down because it's too much pressure on him? The enemy is attacking him. The religion is attacking him. His whole family, right? The brothers did not believe in him. And he had so much pressure from all sides and he broke down. Can you imagine the Lord breaking down? and have to go see a psychiatrist? No, definitely not. Because, wow, he has a solid humanity. But with my humanity, you put some pressure, it's okay. You double that pressure, I'm already a little bit wobbling. And then George put on top of it another pressure that sits on me. That's the end. Finish, finito, fantic, aus. And then I'm out. Right? Well, we are like that. That's our humanity. We are not able to bear that burden. We are unable to withstand. And our humanity is fragile and not able. But praise the Lord for such a wonderful humanity. And yet the Lord in his humanity is so balanced. Right? Don't think we Christians should only be nice. No, don't be just nice. But don't be nasty. Oh, no, don't be nasty, please. Right? The Lord is neither nice nor nasty. You know what is the secret? He just follows the Spirit of the Lord. He just did what God wanted him to do. Right? If you're against him, he's not angry because he's not doing his own thing. You know, if I'm serving the Lord and you are serving the Lord and somebody opposes it, are you going to be angry? If it is your work, you have the right to be angry. But if it is God's work, and somebody is angry and oppose it, why are you angry? He's not against you, he's against God. You know, when the people of Israel rejected God and wanted to have a king, what was Samuel's reaction? He was angry. He was angry. So what did God tell him? Samuel, why are you angry? They did not reject you, they rejected me. I should be angry, not you. Many years ago, when I was serving the Lord, I am angry. Oh, I get angry. Somebody, why don't you receive the truth? Why don't you believe the truth? And, well, somebody against the church, oh, blah, 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 blah. I have a lot of things to say. Today, you're mad. It's your business. You get mad. That's fine. It's not my business. You're mad. Don't get mad at me. You get mad at God. It's not my work. Right. So, it doesn't really matter. Right. That's why it says, people say a lot of things. Why are you getting mad? Is it your church? Oh, no. Right. Are you the head? No. Did you pay the price for it? No. You didn't do anything. Why you get mad?
I'm getting mad.
Oh, you're getting better, right? You're getting less and less mad. That's good. That's good. It's really good. Because we are not doing what we want to do. We just do what he wants to do. And that's good enough. You know, that's really good enough. Right? Now, this is exactly what the Lord did when he was on this earth. Such a wonderful humanity. Right? He is very righteous. He has not done anything that is not righteous. And yet, on the other hand, he is so sympathetic to people. Right? Right? It is really amazing, amazing. You know, the people who are of the law, they already want to throw the stone at that woman, right? So, the Lord didn't throw a stone at her. To make the long story short, the Lord was there to save. Right? And he was God. So, if you're God, are you going to serve me or do I serve you? Tell me. Of course, I have to serve you because you're God. But the Lord, who is God, became a servant to serve you. Now, who should wash the feet. And Peter washed Jesus' feet, or Jesus washed Peter's feet? You'll tell me. Don't be afraid. I would say, well, Peter should wash Jesus' feet. Well, that's what Peter says. No, don't wash my feet. I should be the one washing your feet, right? Now, what about us in the church life? Should the elders wash the brothers and the saints' feet, or the saints wash the elders' feet? What are we going to do? Who's going to wash whose feet? Right. Oh, Lord, according to the Lord, the greatest must be the servant of all. If you think you're really great, then you must be the servant of all. Well, he is a living example. It was God himself coming to serve. Don't think in the church life, I'm the elder, huh? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? Let me tell you. Well, this is our attitude, right? But the Lord, when he came, he didn't put a sign here, I am God. Maybe, you may say maybe, because they don't have printing at that time yet. But do you think, even if he did, will you put a sign there, right? I am God. Worship me. Do you think he will do that? No, he did not. Right. He emptied himself, he humbled himself. We are proud people, although we have nothing to be proud of. What do we have to be proud of? In secret, there's so much fallen things in our being. Are you proud of those? There are many things we have to be ashamed of. You think nobody knows? Hey, the angels know. God knows. And you know, in your heart, you know. Don't think you don't know. Right? There's so many things that we are ashamed of, but you know, the Lord did not have anything that he is ashamed of. And yet he was not proud. God hates proud people. Remember the number one in the list? Right? In the conference, oh, remember number one in the list in Proverbs? What is the number, what's the top of the list?
Proud look.
A proud look. Just the look is already bad enough. A proud look. Don't be proud. That is our fallen humanity in so many aspects. But we hate. We hide so many things. You know. We are fallen. We have a lot of leaven, wickedness, malice, sinful things, evil plotting, criticism. So many things in our heart. That's why the Lord told the Pharisees that it is not what gets into the man that is that will defile him, but it is what comes out of the man that will defile. What comes out of our heart? Oh, so many different things comes out of our heart. Right? Our humanity is such. So, what are you going to do? Where are you going to get that? And how are you going to get the meal offering? I'll keep on asking and asking. At the end, you will say, I have to labor in the good land. Have to labor. Don't think it just drops from heaven. The first bread drops from heaven. It's the manna. In the wilderness, they had nothing to eat, so the manna drops from heaven every day. But after they got into the good land, the manna, what? Ceased, stopped. No more manna. If you're in the good land, don't ask for manna. God's not going to give you manna if you're in the good land. But I have nothing to eat tomorrow. God, please send manna like you did in the wilderness. You think God is going to send you manna in the good land? Why? You have to labor. God will say, you lazy man. you I already gave you such a rich land. You're still asking for manna. Praise God. Today, everything in Christ Jesus, as the good land is given to you now as your inheritance, you have a lot, a portion of the lot of the good land. You got a portion. So you now have to learn to labor. You have to labor. And let Christ or God send you the rain, and you till the ground, and God makes it grow. Exactly what we said yesterday in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God makes to grow. God gives the growth. This is the normal way in the church life today. No other way. You want a simpler way? Sorry. We always want to have a shortcut. Right? Especially we Chinese like a shortcut. No, we apply the shortest way between two distance. So we cut this corner, we cut that corner. We don't need them. We want to do things the fastest way. And at the end, everything falls apart. Right. We all like to make shortcut. No. Don't take the simple way. Take the proper way. Take the proper way. May the Lord really open our eyes. Labor in the good land. The humanity of the Lord. My. Mingled with oil. No leaven. And then you bake it through oven. And or you bake it through the pot. Right? And there are many different ways. Holes. Some of them have holes there. You bake a piece of cake there with holes. That's good. Right? Going through all kinds of sufferings and trials. The Lord went through all kinds of trials and sufferings. And he passed the test. How about our humanity going through trials? How much trials have we gone through? Well, just testing them. In school, in high school, college, right? Those are simple tests. What about trials at home? With your children, with your wife, your relationship? Is there a lot of arguing, fighting, difference in opinion, offenses, and all that? Like what John says, oh, would a family go out for four weeks? Wow, what are you expecting? A lot of arguing, fighting. Sarah wants to do this. The father says, no, I want to do that. And then Sharon says, no, let's do that. And then Jasmine will say, come on. And then, wow, it'll be a lot of turmoil. What are we going to do? That is our humanity. But if we enjoy the humanity of the Lord Jesus, have you ever seen the Lord quarreling with the Father? The Father says, you do this. The Lord says, it's too hard. That's not the right way. I have a better idea. My goodness. You think the Lord tells the Father that? He has a better idea. Sarah, you have a lot of better ideas, right? Oh, yeah, me too. Yeah, we all have better ideas. But you think your idea is better than the Father's idea? This is our humanity. That's why Christians are never one. They cannot be one. Impossible. Why? Because our humanity is a fallen humanity. Our humanity cannot be one. Don't think just the world cannot be one, okay? I always wonder why they call it United Nations. They should call it a disunited nation, or whatever you call it, a divided nation, or a quarreling center, or something like that. They should call it anything else but United Nations. Because all they do there is quarreling, debating, fighting, and Khrushchev took out his shoes and bang on the table. Well, my United Nation, my goodness. Right? They should have a rule now, take off your shoes when you all come in. Otherwise you'll be throwing your shoes at one another. Right. Why? This is really true. This is our fallen humanity. Right. But praise God, we can enjoy a different humanity. And we need it. We need it. For the fulfillment of God's purpose, we need a new humanity. Just as I am is no good. I told the saints, for gospel meeting, you can sing that song. For the worshiping of God, you cannot sing that song. When you are worshiping, you're going to worship the Father. Just as I am, don't sing that song in the worship, because you cannot come as you are. Okay? Don't sing that song. Now we're going to have an offering to the Father. Let's turn to that song, Just As I Am. Don't do that. That song is not good for the worshiping of the Father. No, we need a new humanity of the Lord Jesus. Many times I told the Lord, Lord, replace my humanity. My humanity is no good. Not able to fulfill God's purpose. Not able to build up anything. I just need a new humanity. No wonder Paul says to me, to live is Christ. Because if I live myself, it's going to be a tragedy. There is going to be, sooner or later, probably more sooner than later, there's going to be an accident. A bad one. There's going to be a crash. Right? So, a new humanity is wonderful. And not only without leaven, it should also be offered up with frankincense. And in the Bible, frankincense signifies the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Remember, the Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. The Lord is not just the life. The Lord is a resurrection life. Why? Because when sin came in, death comes in with it. And so our humanity is full of death. That's why when it comes to doing spiritual things, doing the will of God, when it comes to reading the Word of God, when it comes to praying, all of a sudden your strength just left you. When you are playing computer, wow, your eyes are so big. You see, my Chinese eyes are so small. But when I'm doing something that I like to do, all of a sudden my eyes became so big. But when I'm praying and reading the Bible, all of a sudden I cannot open my eyes. It seems that my eyes got stuck. Why? You say, oh, I'm tired. Wrong. Wrong diagnosis. You should say, I'm dead. Spiritually dead. That is属灵的死亡,因为死亡在我们里面做王。所以你要 做属灵的东西的话，你忽然间觉得很累啊！Death begins to work in you, right? So, praise the Lord, in this humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an element called resurrection. What does resurrection mean? It swallows up the death. Death, where is your sting and where is your victory? Right. It's a very strong enemy that many of us do not realize. Why is it that we are so slow in following the Lord? Why is it that you say, oh, because I'm so weak? No, it's not that you're weak. Your flesh is too strong, that's the problem. But when it comes to spiritual things, your flesh all of a sudden resisted it. Right? So, in this wonderful meal offering, my, it is really wonderful. It has resurrection element in it. The element that swallows up death. And then, it also says you cannot offer it with honey. You know, in the States, we love to eat bread with peanut butter and honey, and jam or honey. I know some says peanut butter and honey, wow, you know. So sweet, the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you think the Lord is so sweet? Huh? Oh, we like to, you know, be sweet. Oh, come on, Sarah, be sweet. Be sweet. You think the Lord is sweet? And sticky? Are you sweet and sticky? No, this is the natural stickiness. You know, when we serve the Lord, we want people to stick to us. To follow us, to stick to us, right? And if people don't stick to you, you're mad, you're angry. But the Lord is not like that. The Lord is not like that. You can come, you can go. Right? The Lord will never force anyone to just follow him. That's why the Lord says, you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Carry up the cross. Then you can follow me. Because the following of the Lord Jesus Christ is not just following, oh, he's so happy he has so many followers, right? If you're just a few, my goodness, what is this? Just a few. Do you want to have a large number? Or a small number? What do you want? You just want what the Father brings, and that's good enough. The Lord says, no one can come to me except the Father draws him. Right? What will draw the saints into the church life is not the sweetness of the honey. Oh, the church life in New York is so honey sweet and sticky. Oh my, once you are in the church in New York, you become sweet.
Better not.
Better not. Do you have a sweet brother? Are you a sweet brother, George? Now, in the church life, what draws people in is the Father himself. The Father. Because if a person comes into the church life because of you, pretty soon he will also leave the church life because of you, because he is offended by you. We all come into the church life because of the Father, because the Father draws us. No other reason. That's why in the humanity of the Lord Jesus, there is no honey. Praise the Lord. No honey. I don't want to gain people to the church life because of me. No, no. But it must be just because of this wonderful triune God. Then one more element in this wonderful meal offering is that it must be offered with salt. Salt. According to the Bible, salt is used for what?
Seasoning.
Seasoning, to bring out the flavor. Right. So how much salt do you put in? in seasoning. You put a whole bottle of salt in. My goodness, at the end, you ruin the soup. Right? Chicken soup without salt doesn't taste good. But if you put so much salt in it, it's not drinkable. So you just put a little bit, right? Then it will really bring out the taste of the soup. You know, you are the salt of the earth. What does it mean? What does it mean you're the salt of the earth? Ah, I used to think many years ago, oh, the salt of the earth, my, we have to kill all the germs of the earth. Because, oh, the salt kills the germs, right? I'll preserve all the corruption, right? You don't get rid of the corruption, right? Can you do that in apple? You're going to kill all the germs in the apple company? Become so salty where every time you go to Apple to work, don't you know I'm the salt? You're going to be kicked out of Apple. Cannot do that. But what you do is you bring out the flavor of God. Our humanity, we are created in the image of God. Right? What for? To express. So if we enjoy the humanity of the Lord Jesus, and we are among people, people will sense the difference, right? Because your humanity is not yours, but the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Then it expresses, it gives people the flavor of Christ. That doesn't mean that you don't need to preach the gospel anymore, no. But hey, if we enjoy the humanity of the Lord, your interaction, whatever you're doing, will always give people a different flavor. What flavor? Not your flavor, but a flavor of Christ coming out. And this is what Paul says, we are a sweet aroma to God. And not only to God, but to those people who are around us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, right? Paul says we are a sweet aroma. An aroma of life unto life for certain people and death unto death for other people who rejected Christ. Right? It's a wonderful experience. Now, how did Paul experience this? Through eating of this wonderful humanity of the Lord Jesus. He has a different food, a wonderful heavenly food. So we have a complete meal offering. And with that, right, remember the Lord went through all kinds of trials and all kinds of sufferings. We are suffering shy. You know, even just to have a little cut. I have a little problem with my skin reaction here. So I've taken so many biopsies. And before I came, the dermatologist told me, I'm going to give you a biopsy again. I said, what? Again? Again? Well, that's such a small matter, right? But you know, if you're going to be cut, even if it's a small cut, you're shy of it, isn't it? You're a doctor, right? People didn't want to be cut, right? No, nobody wants to be cut. One time, because I had an accident a long time ago. It's an old story. I had an accident right here, and my glasses broke, and one of the glass got stuck in my skin right here. And the doctor who cleaned me up, you know, when after the accident, didn't notice that. So after a few years, the glass came up on the surface, and I said, what is that? How come I have something here? So, make a long story short, I went to the doctor. They said, get it out. I said, okay. So I was asked to lie down there, and to my surprise, they strapped me. my legs and my hands and here and the strap. I said, that's not necessary. He says, no, we have to strap you. I said, why? He said, because some people jumped out when they saw the knife. I said, I promise you I'm not going to jump away. He says, how should I know that? I couldn't move, and they just took it out. All of us are afraid of cutting and suffering, and we many times we just cannot take it. Just a little suffering. You think the church life is just enjoyment? You think to be a living testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ is enjoyment only? No suffering? You will not be misunderstood, looked down upon, persecuted, have problems and all that. And well, the Lord went through all kinds of suffering. Right? That's why all kinds of baking in the oven, in the pot, in a frying pan, and all kinds of suffering, and in fire. Right? And then you have to have holes. Do you have a lot of holes? Do you want to have holes? No, you don't want to have holes. But with the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can withstand a lot of trials, tests. Test from God, test from the enemy, test in the family, test at home, test at work. You will be going through a lot of tests. Now, how are you going to pass it? Through the meal offering. So when you prepare and enjoy and experience and labor on it, praise the Lord, we can all bring a nice, wonderful meal offering. Oh, I'm wrong. To worship the Father. Praise God. Amen. This is very necessary. We all have to learn to labor and to bring these offerings to the Father. Okay? Amen? In Sunnyvale? Amen. Praise God.